The gospel reading for today is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, and it can be found on page 1627 of your Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and forgiving God, we ask us that you would help us to appreciate this moment, Lord, to appreciate all the gifts you have given us each and every day, that we may say thank you more often, that we may give you grateful praise in all that we do and all that we are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, whenever I have conversations with people about my kids and they ask their ages, the usual response I get is this: "Gray, this is a great age. Enjoy this time. Appreciate it. They won't stay this way forever." And that response always makes me laugh because depending on how their inflection on the word forever is, I think, do we need to have a conversation about what's going on with your kids? How's your relationship going? And I understand the sentiment, but it's hard in between two loads of laundry, preparing dinner, and figuring out who slapped who, and cleaning up to stop and take a breath and appreciate the moment. Yet I think the advice is sound, right? I don't want to regret not being present for this time in their lives. I will not get a second chance at it all. So once a day, I need to drop all my high priorities, stop the important tasks that I think are way more important than hanging out with them, and appreciate the moment. Appreciate what's in front of me right here and now. It's why they put benches in art museums, people, right? Some paintings you need to sit and look at for a while. You need to appreciate them for more than a minute. I listened to an interview recently with Denzel Washington, the actor. And he was asked about what movies he looks back on fondly. And he said he never looks back. He's always going forward. I don't look back. I don't even think about all those movies I've done. I'm just trying to figure out what the next movie I need to do is. It's always on to the next one. And at some level, you respect that drive. You think, yeah, that's a good way to live life. But I think he's missing something important. He's missing the ability to stop for a minute, to reflect, to appreciate the moment you're in. And I criticize Denzel, but I see that in myself. Always on to the next thing that needs to get done, the next task. Unable to stop and be present. Now, today's gospel lesson is all about appreciating a moment and how that moment can change everything. Now, initially, the story about the 10 lepers seems like a pretty standard healing story, right? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, which, by the way, in the Bible is code for he's on his way to his death and resurrection, right? Whenever Luke says he's on his way to Jerusalem, you know where that's heading. And just as he's entering this village, 10 lepers cry out to him. Now, you may remember in our study in Leviticus, right, that anyone who had leprosy at that time was actually probably not necessarily a leper, right? Remember I talked about that, how they used the word, the blanket term leprosy, but it actually probably applied to any skin disease at the time. So if you had some type of skin disease, they were sending you out of the village, according to the Levitical code. Now, they had to live outside the walls of the community. They had to separate themselves from everyone to avoid spreading the disease and preventing others from becoming ritually unclean. All right? Now, Leviticus goes even further. If you have leprosy, you're supposed to wear torn clothes, allow your hair to go a little crazy, and anyone starts to approach you, you're supposed to go, unclean, unclean, unclean. So that everybody knows, don't get near me. You're not supposed to be near me. Pretty miserable life to live. These are people set apart, exiled on the margins of society. And you'll notice that Luke tells the 10 lepers that it says that they kept their distance, emphasizing this point as they called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Some scholars suggest that their cries for mercy were just asking Jesus for a monetary donation, just so their life could be a little easier out in the outskirts of town. But clearly, they recognized Jesus. After all, they knew his name, so perhaps they hoped to be healed because they knew what Jesus was capable of. So Luke tells us that Jesus doesn't walk towards them, just sees them. Turns his head and sees these 10 lepers. That's what Luke says. Jesus saw them, right? And he gives them a very simple command. Go and show yourselves to the priest. That's all he says. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Now we know that's important because we all read Leviticus, right? Yeah, you did, yeah. Because what has to happen? In order for these lepers to be restored to the community that they're exiled from, they have to go to the priest. And the priest will examine them, take a look at the body, see if it's okay. And if the priest thinks everything's all right, you're in like Flynn, baby. Welcome back into the community. Welcome. Now they can go see their families again. They can start working again. It's a whole thing. They're back in. And if Jesus commands it, you better jump on it. And every one of those lepers does. They follow Jesus' command to go and show themselves to the priest. Well, almost all of them. 9 out of 10 lepers agreed it was a great idea to keep walking to the priest. But one willingly and knowingly disobeys Jesus' command. Now this is crazy. This is crazy, people. I need you to like truly take this in for like one moment. Jesus tells them a thing. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Right? And this dude goes, no. He saw that he was healed. And what does he do? He turns around and runs back to Jesus. By the way, he hadn't seen the priest, so he was still ritually unclean. So any contact with Jesus threatened to make Jesus unclean as well. Right? Willingly and knowingly disobeys Jesus Christ. This is radical stuff. This is crazy. What is he doing? And you would think in any other story, Jesus would rebuke him immediately. What are you doing? Why did you not listen to me? I told you a very simple thing. Go and show yourself to the priest. But this guy turns around, prostrates himself at Jesus' feet, and thanks him for the healing. And we're told that this guy was a Samaritan. And this is important because Samaritans were outsiders. They were foreigners. This guy knew that if he went to the priest and the priest looked at him and said, "You know what? You're clean, dude." That priest wasn't going to cleanse this guy from his foreignness, from his status of being a Samaritan. And we don't know how long he suffered from this skin disease, how long he had to suffer on the outskirts of town, how long he had to beg for scraps to eat, how long he had to endure the isolation from the community. Because the reality is, with this healing, life would get better, even though he was a Samaritan. He would be able to reunite with his family, perhaps even find some work, and live for the first time in a while. All he had to do was listen to Jesus. But this Samaritan postponed all those good things, willingly disobeys Jesus in order to stop and give thanks to God. He was willing to take the risk to stop and appreciate the moment, to drop everything for a moment, his new life, his restoration to his family, his restoration to his community, to point to the source of the grace that he had been given. Now, maybe it was because he was an outsider that he understood the power of this moment better than the other 9 lepers. Because that's what this Samaritan experienced, is not just a healing from a skin disease, but restoration to God, entrance into a new community of faith, where his foreignness nor his skin disease disqualified him from the love of God. Now, Jesus does not rebuke him for this act of disobedience, but actually commends the guy. What? Commends him. Tells him not even to bother with the priest. Your faith made you well. Get out of here. Go on. The Samaritan who was once isolated is now brought in to the circle of community through Jesus' actions. And this tells us something about a life of faith. When you experience God's mercy as this Samaritan leper did, you must drop everything and appreciate the moment, pointing to the source of the mercy. And that's really important, team. Y'all remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Luke says this, and Gary, you talked about this in class, right? If you love anything else more than God or Jesus, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, right? And they even go a little further. If you don't hate your mother, which Jesus was using some exaggerations, not hate how we understand it. The idea is that you have to love Christ and God above everything else in your life. What did this Samaritan do? The minute he got to the priest, he was about to get restored back to his community. He had his whole life ahead of him. But what he did instead was show that he actually did not care about those things that much. He actually loved God more in that moment, more than restoration to his family, more than restoration to his community. He was willing to postpone all of that in order to give thanks to God. And that is why Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Because he recognized that in this man, he was living into the supreme commandment to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And so we need to hear this lesson from the Samaritan. We have a hard time in our lives taking a beat, appreciating this amazing act of mercy in our midst. Because let me tell you, we experience incredible acts of mercy each and every day. They may seem like little, insignificant, ordinary things, but believe me, they are powerful. And we choose to look right past them. Move on quickly. Allow the drama of our lives to dominate them instead, unless we choose to stop. Choose to recognize it for what it is, mercy and grace, and acknowledge it by offering our gratitude to God. That's why I named the sermon this week the Kodak Moment. Who in here can tell me what a Kodak moment is real quick? Who knows what a Kodak moment? Kodak's even not even around anymore. Harry, what's a Kodak moment?
They had the camera and they could take a picture immediately of a great moment in their life and stay with
it. Right. The Kodak moment was something that was happening in your life that was so important, so memorable, that you needed to stop right there and take the photo. Sounds a lot like what our Samaritan brother did, doesn't it? Stopping and taking a moment to appreciate what's right in front of you and giving thanks to God for it. That is your instructions this week. Once a day. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Stop. Thank God for the grace and mercy that you have in your life, and point to that. May we never lose of the mercy and grace we receive from God. And today, as we go into communion, where we're going to celebrate with Christians around the world, may we remember this Samaritan leper, who was willing to postpone his new life, to disobey Jesus' command to go to the priests in order to give thanks to Jesus Christ. Let us now go to the table and begin thanking and praising God with a loud voice. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.